Hi there. Thanks for coming back. This particular interview caught me off guard. I'm introducing you to Annalise, who I adore because she was always so smiley every time I entered the space, and just enthusiastic and vibrant. But when I got her on the Zoom call, I was taken off guard by something that we have in common. It's very quickly revealed, so there's no real surprise. But my insecurity kicked in because it's sort of about a health issue that I never talked openly about, socially, social media wise. Anyway, it felt good to connect with her and bond over our shared trauma. But it also was hard to share. So I tried to edit myself out, which was impossible because I talked too much in it. And I apologize for that. And moving forward, I'm going to try to be a better listener. But just to give myself a little grace, this particular interview shocked me and moved me, and I couldn't help whatever happened. So this is it. And get ready to meet Lily, as she is known by her close friends, and it was my pleasure. Period. Okay, here you go. Enjoy.
Hi.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good, you look so pretty.
Thanks. When I'm not at the gym sweating profusely.
It is funny because every time I walk in, I'm like, especially recently because I've been coming like almost right out of bed.
Yeah, not literally.
I mean, super early that I'm like, God, like, thank God I trust these people not to judge me in this situation.
Right.
Like, I maybe splash my face with water.
Brush my teeth, and that's like as much as you're getting in the morning, you know?
God. I couldn't get there today because I had to teach early and traffic has been crazy on the Merritt. How was it today?
It was good. It was push pull, and it was
What does that mean, push pull?
so it's usually like chest back, so like there were pull ups and chest
Mm.
presses and shoulder presses and that kind of thing. Upper body.
All right. So let me. So your name is Annalise.
Yeah, Annalise, so they call me Lily.
Annalise.
So either way.
They call you what?
Lily.
Lily. Oh, that's so nice. So Annalise, not Annalise.
Yeah.
Annalise.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Margie. Hi.
Hi.
So for the listener, we just started working out like side by side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of recently, right? Like
Yeah.
in the same
Because
class.
I changed my time. You're doing 6:30, right?
I do 6:30 or 7:30. I kind of
Yeah.
flip
So do I.
So we've been catching each other.
Even catching each other. When did you start burn?
I started in, it was like end of 2019. My sister had been going and told me about it. And so that's how I just, tried it one day. Of course, I can't remember exactly what the workout was, but it was like a cardio day. I was
Yeah.
looking at my sister like, are you kidding me? And she was like, it's not always like, like, cool.
It's not always like this. Maybe 5 days out of the week, but like
A
at
couple.
least a couple days are absolutely 100% like that.
Yeah, totally. So it was actually shocking that I went back, but I went back and 'cause like when you sign up, I think at the time it was like, a 2 week trial or something. And so
Yeah.
I kept going back and I
Now,
realized.
how many times did you go in the first week?
I don't remember exactly. If I had to guess, probably like 3 times at least.
So that is really impressive because I think that's the hardest part is in that first week, if you don't go back at least, I mean, 2 weeks is a good time to be like, oh, I'll make it 6 times. But like initially, oh my God, I had to w make myself literally go the next day because otherwise I wouldn't go back.
Yeah. And I feel like at the time, and I really have always kind of worked like extra did some sort of exercise. And so once I had 2 weeks, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna make the most of it and this will be my workout,
And then what kept you coming back?
That's a great question. I honestly just got hooked kind of from the beginning, and I really gravitated towards sort of group fitness classes. Like I belonged to just a regular like box gym kind of thing, but I liked classes. So mm-hmm. I've been finding that, and I thought, wow, this is like more challenging than anything I've really done. And certainly nothing that I'm making myself do on my own. You know, yeah. I just want to show up and not really have to think about it, you know, like someone just tell me what to do. And
so, and it's interesting too, that interests me, because I think I used to see people at another gym, like working in a circuit, like in a, not as a team, but like rotating so that you were forced to do the next thing when somebody else came and like relieved you. And then that's how, but it was still kind of like a group dynamic. But I think one of the major things I love about it is not knowing what's going to happen.
Totally. You just show up.
Because I think people get used to the routine of coming in and like knowing the teacher. And it's not that we don't know the trainers, but I don't necessarily, our trainers, I feel like they rotate. And yeah. like, it isn't about them. It really isn't about like, for me, at least, it could be for other people, but it's about like, I guess it's like, because I heard Heather say this the other day, and I was surprised that someone that was a trainer had the same like need to refresh and not know what was happening. She's like, don't tell me about what you just did. And it made me feel better. I was like, oh my God, even like the professional worker outers have that same ism where they don't want to know everything.
Yeah.
Going to happen.
Yeah. I think, you know, working out on your own and really being like motivated to do, and truly like to make it, if you want variety, like that takes a lot of planning and I think effort to like someone to do it for you.
I couldn't even make like a successful set list for a jog or to go to like, must have listened to like, I'm not going to even admit to the same songs over. And then some of them would be like sad. I'm like, why am I running to this super sad song?
Like, music makes such a difference when you're, especially something like running. My gosh.
Well, cause yeah, you feel like you're telling yourself something. So your sister, did you guys play sports when growing up?
So we were both dancers. So I started dancing when I was probably like 3. She's a couple years older than me. So she was already in it. And then I started competing when I was 8, maybe.
Wow.
So I was on the younger side for sure. But it was the kind of thing like growing up, we were there every night and, you know, for a couple hours. And that was kind of the thing.
And now, at what point in dance does it become like does it ever become about weights or about muscle strength? Or is it always about like coordination and flexibility and rhythm?
Yeah, I think it's all of the things. Like, it certainly requires a lot of strength. And
did they ever do strength training with you when you were dancing?
Yeah, I feel like we did not strength training, but I would say some conditioning, I guess, maybe call it more. But really, the endurance of it, like, if you're taking a couple classes back to back every night, you're there for a couple hours. Like, I didn't think about it like that as a kid, but that's what it was, right?
Yeah. No, I danced a lot when I was a kid. And then I performed in, you know, rehearsals and theater and, you know, musicals and stuff like that. And I still have this vivid memory of doing, I don't want to judge the show, but it was called Will Rogers Follies. And it was not the show for me. It was like a very dance-centric show. And you're on like a staircase doing really inappropriate moves, I find. And it would never, never make it on Broadway today because it's so sexist. But all that dance rehearsal that we were doing, like I really did feel so fit every time I was coming in and out of the theater, but it was like, it was actually probably my peak of physical fitness. And that was in my 20s, but like, it was still, I couldn't maintain it. I'm like, what am I going to do? Exercise for rehearse for eight hours a day.
Right.
Did you go on when did you stop dancing?
So I danced all through really high school. I had, I think we have another thing in common, which is I found out from the last podcast episode, I will say, but I had brain surgery when I was 16. And I was going into my senior year of high school, and I danced after that, but it was really hard. Like, I was kind of a mess that year. I had short-term memory loss to start. You know, my body was totally changing, and so that was really, really hard.
My mind is blown. It could be. Wait, wow. So what was your diagnosis?
Craniopharyngioma, which is a benign tumor on my pituitary gland. Not super common. It's more common in kids, if anything. And they said it was probably growing since I was a kid. And I started having symptoms like headaches. And I kept saying, like, God, it feels like it's right behind my eyes, like a migraine. Lo and behold, found out pretty quickly that, you know, through CAT scan MRI, that it was a tumor. And they were like, it's kind of large and your optic nerve is there. Like, it's like in a dangerous spot, essentially. So have to, you know, we have to get that out. So I had that removed at NYU Medical Center when I was 16. And just before going into my senior year, like I said, and completely had to remove my pituitary gland. That I've learned lots about that since, but really controls all the hormones. So of course, you know, I'm on all hormone replacement. And like I said, my body totally changed. It was like a whole, it was wild. Short-term memory loss for, takes about 2 years to come back, but like, couldn't tell you what I had for breakfast kind of thing, you know?
You know, it's so funny. I'm laughing because, oh my God, I definitely felt like post-brain surgery, I got smarter in so many areas because my brain was finally fully functioning. I am so scared right now to tell you what I had, only because I'm not 100% sure. They, going in, thought it was like, my symptom, they said since I was a child too, and it was exceptionally large. like the size of like a plum or something. But it was a cyst on top of a very small tumor that in the end, I'm forgetting all the terms now because honestly, I'm just so in shock. I found out, and there's another woman in Fairfield who had brain surgery when she was a senior in high school. And we were like sitting next together at a son's basketball game and we both just started sobbing.
How old were you?
Say it again.
How old were you when this all?
So I was, it was my second child. I was like late 30s.
Okay.
I was an artist and in theater. So like my husband and I like really procrastinated having, children, and I didn't even find him until I was like 35. So, I mean, I knew him, but I didn't consider him mine until the year 35, when I turned 35. I knew of him, but yeah. And I had my first seizure. God, I've never talked about this, but I had seizures for 4 years before they would do brain surgery because it
so
didn't
know what was there.
Mm-hmm. Saw it. And if, you know, at some point when I get more bold, I never posted about it, never talked about it. My friends, obviously my close knit circle knew about it, but what happened? It's kind of intense, but I had it, a seizure the night before my scheduled C-section with my second child. And then I basically, the way I think about it is I woke up a week later with a diagnosis of epilepsy and a newborn. Like, so I was like, and that's my POV. But the other POV is my husband who, and my eldest son who witnessed the seizure as I was 9 months pregnant. And like all the trauma that ensued in the hospital that week when they took me in, assuming initially that it was eclampsia, which is a common condition, not common, but diagnosable condition that women have when they have a seizure during labor. But the problem was the cure for that is removal of infant. So that should have solved it. But then 48 hours later, I had three seizures. After my son was out, and there's varying degrees of what happened next, but then I was intubated, and then and they had to figure out what was wrong with me. So they did the MRI, and then my husband was then shown my brain, which was insane looking, and then he had a newborn. He had a wife that had a ginormous cyst in her head. And
was intubated.
And was intubated. And then I was intubated as a precautionary tool more than anything right. else. But yeah, it was intense. But the beauty, the positive side is that now I feel extraordinary post it. I feel like, and I don't know, I mean, I'm very artistic, and where it was in my brain was like where you're supposed to be artistic from. And that's what's hilarious. Like it was right in the front, like right on the, so it's like, it's just funny because it didn't affect that. The problem was
post having your second child.
4 years later, I had to have seizure. I had epilepsy for 4 years. So I'd have breakout grand mal seizures. They don't generally do brain surgery unless there are symptoms that are debilitating or deadly. And for some reason, I guess the seizure condition wasn't enough for them. But it did stop me from being able to do murals. I was a muralist at the time, or perform, and I had two small children. Anyway, eventually it worked out that everybody agreed that something was shifting, and it was causing like more havoc than necessary. And they decided to do it. And literally, I remember being in the OR, and maybe it had something to do with the drugs I was giving. But when I came out of brain surgery, I immediately felt relief.
Wow.
And I videoed it. I have like this crazy video that I would like, the woman was like, I'm going to sedate you. Like, you need to chill. And I was like, no, I'm like, I'm better. And then brain surgery recovery, as you probably know, is like two steps forwards, one step back, a step to the left. Like it's very unpredictable. Yeah. But how was your recovery from yours?
And I'll say the first time, because I had brain surgery again in July. It'll be a year this July, like last, just last. It's the whole thing. Anyway.
I don't think I've ever been this shocked about something. I know, you know what? Because it makes you think, this is why people need to talk to people.
Right.
That's
what I love so much about, you know, learning more about the people you have talked to already, because it's like, God, everybody has a story, and you really don't know. We all make assumptions about each other and whatever.
Yes.
But don't know. Right.
No. Like,
going through or dealing with or whatever. So it's just, you know.
All right. So when you, at your senior year, how long do you, they told me, and I think it was just so that I would have brain surgery, that would be like an intense 2 week recovery. Then like in 3 months, I could go back to work.
Yeah.
It was not true.
Yeah. I mean, I was also like delusional because I was 16 and I was like, guys, it's going to, like, I was walking into surgery. My mom's crying and I'm like, I'm going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
You know? Don't feel bad. I was delusional too. I had two children and a husband, and I got to a really sort of, I don't know. It was a state. I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't a belief system, but something.
It's survival.
It's like, survival. Yeah.
You have to believe that for yourself, I think.
Yeah. I don't even think I looked at it. I don't remember thinking of the outcome. It was like one of the few times in my life I was like, this is what is happening, whether I like it or not. And now I'm going to dance with my husband to a slow song, and then I'm going to walk into an OR and lay down on a table, and something's going to happen. But I did know that the other option was not working. Like, I was not getting better. And
by not doing it.
By not doing it.
Yeah.
And wait, so, yeah.
When I was recovering from, I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. Like I said, it was short-term memory loss, which was wild.
yeah.
And this was in July of 2004, and I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. And then, you know, again, I came out, I felt like, okay, all things considered, I was on a lot of all hormone replacement therapy to take the place of what your pituitary gland does. And so that was a big adjustment, you know, but I was very much like, no, I'm starting school when school starts. Like, I was very attached to the idea of like back to normal, whatever normal is.
Was that your senior, going into your senior year?
Yeah. Mm. And so I started school on time. I had to take my SATs. That was special. Looking back, I'm like, I was like, I should not have been in school. But I think like the amazing thing about your brain is it like overcompensates. I think like I knew I had short-term memory loss. So I knew like, if I don't write something down, I'm not going to remember. So, and I was always like a very like organized type A person. So I went in and be like, okay, I need to just like write everything down and I'll be fine. And I remember very like literally probably twice. And I was crying to a teacher, like, I forgot, I didn't know I forgot I had an assignment. And I was so like devastated by that. And they were like, are you kidding? It's like, they knew what had happened. They're like, it's fine. You know, but I was just so determined.
We had moved. Okay. We had moved to Fairfield right before in the fourth year, because my husband is a cinematographer and was traveling, and I needed backup. Like, I was calling my best friend who had two small children, one of which was visually impaired, to when I thought I was going to have a seizure. And if I'm going to get graphic, like one of my last seizures in Brooklyn, I like vomited and she had to like, and it was like, just not good. It was getting worse and worse. And I felt like, obviously I was a danger to be left alone. And that was just kind of a crazy thing. Cause when I was well, I was like super mom, like head of the whatever, you know, running stuff at the school and trying. But when my body was shutting down, like when it was, I couldn't help my, I couldn't do anything. So we moved out here to be closer to both of our families who happened to live in Fairfield. And this is crazy. I had my last seizure at Captain's Cove. And I walked into the candy store, who's owned by the woman that from Tabitha's. And I can't even, she was so, she's always and still is so sweet to me. But I walked in and I was with my mom, and I, all of a sudden I was like, uh-oh. And I looked at my mom like, we got to get out of here. And my mom, who is not as stable as my dad or anybody else, but my dad stayed with the kids and my mom got me in the car. And I got basically to her parking lot at where she lived in Black Rock. I got there and then they called an ambulance. And then basically after that, it all happened rather quickly. We were like, this is not going to work. Like, we have to. And my neurologist made arrangements. And then I went and met this superhuman who, do you remember the name of your doctor? Name is, of course, you
probably do. Yeah. Then it was Dr. Wisoff at NYU Medical Center. He's an angel. Love him.
So I have a superhero too. Mine is Dr. Swedain at Cornell Medical Center. And he was incredible. And he was the first person ever since my diagnosis of epilepsy. I really, Dr. Kandula was my neurologist, and she worked medicated me very well, and was, and her and her nurse Laura were amazing. But Dr. Swedain was like, when I sat down with him, he was like, so how is your writing going? I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't write. I'm like, I'm raising two kids and having seizures. And he's like, well, what about your painting? Are you, I was like, no, I can't get on a ladder. Like, nobody's hiring me for murals. And he's like, okay. He's like, so just go out, and he said the receptionist name, and sign up, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. And I was like, for what? And he's like, for brain surgery. And I was like, okay. He's like, we'll get you back. And I looked at my husband, we got in the elevator. I was like, what's happening? Like, are we doing this? Like, it's, and then he was right. And when he usually works on infants and like small children. So he's a real saint. And initially years, you know, whatever, 7 years ago, he's done so much solid work that he's had such, his success rate has grown because of all of his research and all this stuff. But initially his physician assistant, Therese, who I loved, was like, oh no, you're the one that's going to, you know, help him feel better, because you're a victory. You're an automatic win. And he's like, when he goes in to do brain surgery on small children, you know, it's so much a greater a risk. He's like, you're here to build up his endorphins and like, you know, it was just like this crazy thing. But it was also weird because when I came to Fairfield, nobody knew. I went to my son's pre-K at Burr like a few days after I had brain surgery, like apologizing for not having been to, and the woman is like, it's okay. Like, you're okay.
We have this weird standard of like, okay, let me get back.
Yeah. So when you went back to your senior year, I mean, I imagine you were a bit of a celebrity.
I had only been at that school because we had moved for 1 year prior. So as soon as I'm like making friends and everything, I was like very tired during it. Like I went to school and just crashed. I cut down on dance at the time. Like I know we were kind of talking about that at the beginning, but, and I think like my body changing, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's hard. And I feel like, I still feel like to this day, like that sort of like took dance away from me in some ways, you know?
Yeah.
I danced in college and, you know, nothing serious, but just kind of for fun. But it was like never the same, never felt the same.
Interesting. Do you think that that's because your body changed or because your like something else in your brain shifted interest, or was it the hormones?
Both. I think probably a combination of everything, but I think it was mostly like, you know, it was just like the weight gain, like immediately just like, you know, felt so. I didn't even feel like myself.
Yeah.
So
how do you adapt to that?
Well, I think I probably spent the first few years in denial of like, this is going to fix itself. Like, it's going to be fine. And then it went to a place of like, oh shit, I have to do something about this. And I think being like always active from dance and like, I was just like a very like strong kid, you know, like my mom always talks about when I walked at like 9 months, she's like, I took you to the doctor because your calves were like, I thought there was something wrong with you. Like the doctor was like, no, it's just like, she just has kind of developed muscles there. I don't know. And like, I felt like I didn't have that identity anymore kind of, and felt like, oh God, I have to work out now to lose weight. And that like felt shitty, obviously.
Yeah. That's not that. That's
why I was doing it.
But I think that's why it was pitched to people initially. And it really, getting in your body is not like losing your body, like in, you know, in fitness. Cause I imagine that's when, you know, the going up and down, the weight fluctuations that people, when you do it for that purpose, there is no consistency, you know, right?
Also like kind of doing it like, this is something I have to do. Like not something you have to do, or that you get to do, or that, you know, and that's certainly like been a whole journey. And now I like burn is the perfect place where I'm like, God, I'm here because I love it and I feel strong and, you know, whatever. But it took a very, very long time to get to that place, you know?
Now, interesting. Did you, so when you had brain surgery again though?
Yeah. So just this time last year in May, I had, after the first surgery, I had follow-up MRIs, you know, at a certain cadence. And the longer it had been, like once we got to like 10 years out from surgery, they're like, come back in 5 years, come back in 10 years, you know? So I hadn't been in 10 years. So I was due in 2023. So I went for an MRI and they're like, we see like a little something. It could be nothing. It could be a cyst. It could be whatever. We're going to watch it. Come back in 3 months. I went back in 3 months in May and they said it doubled in size. And so we think it's a recurrence of craniopharyngioma, like the same type of, we won't know if it's the same type of tumor until we get in there, but like, that's what we think. And we should have it removed. Like if it's growing, they were kind of like, you can wait. But like it doubled in size in 3 months. So
God, the timing of that, you know, like it was 10 years.
Well, yeah. And it had been 19 years from the surgery, 10 years since my last MRI, but 19 years since the original surgery. This year will be 20 years in July. So I ended up going to Yale, Dr. Moliterno. I just loved having a female brain surgeon. I just thought like, what a badass. And she just kind of so happened trained with Dr. Wisoff, who was my original surgeon and like knows him, has a great relationship with him.
Well, so I'm 100% getting her number from you.
so it was a little bit easier, but yeah.
So, and how was that recovery?
That was much easier. I was in the hospital for 4 days. Like the same day of brain surgery, I get out and I'm like, okay, I need my 2 o'clock medication, whatever. And they were trying to tell me something different. I'm like, listen, I've been doing this for 19 years. My mom's like, she's fine. Boston people around. So, you know, I felt it was in a different, slightly different spot, like where it wasn't really around anything. Yeah. So I was off of work for about 6 weeks. But truthfully, I felt pretty good. Again, like low energy is kind of the main. I went back to burn after I think 4 or 5 weeks.
And you told them, I imagine.
Yeah. And I was kind of like, I don't know what I can or can't do or what will feel good or not good, but like, I'm willing to try and see, you know? And they were like, oh, yeah, whatever you need to do.
I mean, my husband and I joked when I started to recover, I think our I mean, physical fitness, I was just listening to another podcast that was talking about this, but physical fitness, how it helps your brain. I mean, people always say it helps your heart, but it actually, the brain is a muscle. We're all, it's all connected to everything. And, you know, anyway, when I got out, I was desperate to exercise in a way that I had tried to when I was parenting and having seizures and stuff, but there was, you know, a lot of obstacles. So that when my central ventricle was like clear and flowing, I was like, so I started running again. But just anyway, it was just really funny. And my husband's like, what are you going to do? Run a marathon? And I was like, yeah, I'm like, maybe I'll, you know, like win awards and become like, I was, you know, getting too big for my britches. And I was like, and my husband's like, yeah, your slogan can be sure as shit. Here she goes. Or like, just like ridiculous. Like we came up with all these like silly, but it was really just so that I felt like capable, because I think when you get labeled, even when you must get this, when you say brain surgery, people are like,
huh, yeah.
Well, I mean, they're shocked, you know? So it is like a, you know, I start when I, you being new in your town, I had just moved here. So I was new here. And I remember, and I had just had it. So often I had to tell people, because seizures, when you are epileptic and you're spending time with people, you know, kind of for the first year, it was sort of a necessity that I say this could happen.
Yeah. Here's what you should do.
Yeah, basically, like if this happens, you know, and my husband and I, they had told us back when I was having seizures that we didn't have to call 911 because it basically would just send a protocol where I would be in the hospital for at least 48 hours, because some doctor would then get an MRI, then they would see my brain, and then everybody would panic at the hospital. Like it would became this. So my husband would really not want to call 911, but anytime I had a seizure, people around would be like, what's wrong with you? Like you have to, like, it looks so bad. Before. Yeah. Like it made him feel like he was like a horrible human being, being like, please, she's just going to, it's going to happen. And then she's going to rest. And then we'll call her neurologist. She has all the people. She just, you know, and once we went into the hospital, and then my husband just walked me right out and was like signing all the papers. Like she's on a protocol. We spoke to her doctor. Like it's all, you know, but it is like, it's an interesting, like, just telling people, I think, was something that I think you get into like fight or flight mode about, or you're kind of in combat when you're like, I had to tell people when I was working at a gym, like the receptionist or whoever was watching, like, just FYI, this is, and I didn't tell Burn because it's been so many years, you know, and like, I really am seizure free, but it's a crazy, and I don't put it on my forms or anything like that anymore.
I think too, at that age, like I felt so weird for some reason for sharing, not that I didn't want to talk about it or anything, but it felt
young.
I was young. And I, like I said, I was so self-conscious of what I looked like. I knew I looked different and whatever, like, but it was also like, is this like attention seeking by saying, like making me, I don't know. Like I just felt very kind of weird about it. And then this time, and also if, like in that time I wasn't on, there was no social media, not that there was, well, I don't know if there was, social media wasn't a thing, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was almost in some ways isolating. And this time I thought like, I'm going to kind of like share.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the power of social media, and I get all the ways it's also terrible, but like is connection.
Yeah.
I actually kind of used that this time. And I don't know, I kind of thought, am I oversharing here? But also like, I didn't talk about it the first time, kind of.
I think that's so healthy. I think the one thing, everything is what you make of it, social media included, right? Like, if it's like, I don't know, I feel like if you're coming from a genuine spot, like, yes, people can interpret it in whatever way they need to, but that's not why you're sharing. Like, you're sharing to, like, process.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what therapy is. It took me a year of having epilepsy, or maybe a little over a year, when they offered like free counseling through Cornell Medical, and I didn't go. But what's so funny was when I finally did go to talk about, you know, it's hard to talk about a trauma when you're in the middle of it. Like when you're a mother with having seizures with kids, like
I don't even know if I saw it as a trauma, but it is.
It is a trauma. I know. And I think, you know, the depression that eventually like came to me out of felt like out of nowhere, but really it was just nestled beneath a whole lot of survival tools that I had built. And I have to say, like, I've learned to be kind to myself and to, or I still am trying, like even today I had like kind of a hard day, and it's just because it's an end of a school year, and I don't know, I just, transitions are like just something, you know, for me sometimes. And like, I just always have to remind myself, like, that you just have to keep going. Like, it is like, you know, but, and just be kind. Like, maybe you do need to like, just stay home or not go out or go to Burn. You know, the one thing I love about Burn is I don't, as much as I show up, if I remember to check in, then they know that I've been there, but it isn't a social scene. Well, we keep saying community sometimes in reference to it, but I don't feel like I'm required to have a personality when I show up.
You show up, do the workout, and you're gone. And it's for you. Like,
and I think to me, like, I love that anonymity of the whole thing. Like, I do feel acknowledged. They say my name and there is that space, but I don't feel pressure to, I don't know. Or Alyssa has like a magic wand when she hires people that she really hires people with a great sense or, and then also strong emotional intelligence to read the room.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. What do you do for work now?
I work in trade shows and events. I work for an event organizer. I manage two departments there. I have our exhibitor services team and operations team. So we do trade shows all over in different industries and throughout the year in all different locations throughout the country.
Wow.
I've been in events for about 15 years and at this company specifically for 6. So
interesting. That's funny. I did creative recruiting only for about a year, but we worked for an event company too. That's interesting. How long have you lived in Fairfield?
So I live in Black Rock. So I'm technically in Bridgeport, and I've been here for 6 years, but I've always been in the area. Grew up in Stratford mostly, moved to Easton when I was in high school. I went to Fairfield U, so lived there for a bit. So kind of always around this area. And I've been in Black Rock, like I said, for 6 years, which I just love it here.
What about, have you ever taken dance classes? Did you ever get into that as an adult?
Yeah, so my sister ended up buying the dance studio that we grew up at.
Oh my God, I'm crying. That's crazy.
I don't know how many years they've owned it for, at least 10 years, I think, or more. And she's going to kill me for not knowing it. But
what is it called?
Connecticut Dance Conservatory. It's in Stratford.
Oh, I know that place.
So that's like a second home for sure. And they do adult classes. So I've definitely been, I say, dragged there to do like adult tap and hip hop and all the things. But yeah, and that's always been fun, and I haven't done it in a while, but I did do it for years.
Wow. Now, wasn't that also in Fairfield?
No, there's some similar name. Like, there's a Connecticut dance, I think, somewhere.
Okay. All right.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's Connecticut. They're going to be, that'll probably happen. That's so awesome. So, does she have children? Do they dance there? Or?
Yeah. Well, so she has 2 children, 1 on the way.
Okay.
So it's my nephew, Bodie. He's 4. He's in his first dance recital tomorrow.
My God.
The dress rehearsal this week. So I'm like, a 4-year-old could very well like knock it on stage at the recital. You know, like you never know what's going to happen at 4. So I was like, I need opportunities to go to the dress rehearsal, and I'm crying. Watch it. Like, I just can't.
Did you ever consider teaching dance?
My sister has asked me before, and I don't know if I'd be good at that. So not really. And again, like I feel like I would have maybe done more with dance had I, you know, I don't know, if I had just like continued with it more, I guess.
Yeah. But, well, it's hard to know. I mean, you're physically aware of yourself and your body and what you need, you know?
I think that's what's made Burn, like, I feel like it's so challenging. And I remember showing up, and like the first time I saw like or heard them talk about double unders, I like laughed. Like, I will never do, like, are you kidding me? And now I like loved up double unders and can do them, which is shocking, but I feel like it's sort of related.
Can you explain a double under to me? And let me
jumping rope and spinning the rope twice every time. That makes sense. I'm not a good
okay. Person. Yeah. So this is where our camaraderie ends, because This is really good to know about you. And I almost didn't come to Bern out of fear of like the big ropes, but also jumping rope. I'm so bad at it. And I have gotten better. I begrudgingly say that I have gotten better, but like, I don't know how to jump rope. I don't know if it's because I lived in the city for a million years. Maybe people in the city jump rope, but like, I never jumped rope. I don't even know why people act as if it's like a common thing. Like, why should we all know how to jump rope? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Not that's easy. No, and then it's fast and you can get hurt. I mean, like the amount of times I get hit in the face, the only thing I like about it is the ego bruise that I get when I do it. Like there is no, my confidence gets disabled in a way that I can't hide it. Like, it's like not being able to do a push-up.
But here's the thing, like there's lots of skills that I can't do there, but I just think like, wow, I can learn something new as an adult. Like that's shocking, you know, or like,
yes.
Even like box jumps, which we did yesterday together in camp, right? Like,
yeah,
that was something I was like, absolutely not when I started. Like, cause there's that, it's like a weird fear thing of like, what if I don't,
you're going to hit your face into a wall. Yeah. You're protecting your body. Yeah,
so it's a very fear driven thing. And then one day, I think it was Sydney training and she really like encourage and help me. And you're like, oh, okay, I could do like that. I think is amazing as an adult. Like how often
do you take it, talked me through it, but it turned out yesterday I was doing it, but my heels were a little bit off the box. And the woman next to me, who's a regular, whose name I don't know. She said to me, no, stop. You can't do it that way. You have to, get your whole foot onto the center of the box. Or you could tip in the box and with you. And I was like, what?
Come with you.
So I was scared of going forward, but she was like, no. And then what was crazy was the more I considered where my feet went, the less I considered the height that I was doing. So I excelled. It was the easiest time I've ever done box jumps because I was focusing on my foot placement. It's just a power of not getting on the box, like not making it.
It's like a mental game.
It's a mental game. The other crazy one, and Steph Cole helped me figure this out, but I'm still really bad at it. And I did dance too. And I cannot get my rear end over the little thing that you have to jump, you know, the little hurdle. Yeah. I look like, it's like, I feel like I'm a bird when I'm like a flapping bird. And then when Steph was there, she told me something and I probably should just ask someone, but I don't even know what to ask somebody. Like, where am I focusing my attention? Because right now I could trip over this thing. I'm so stupid. Like, I feel like, and I don't feel like I'm uncoordinated, but I do feel like I'm not nailing that. It has to be easier than what I'm doing. Cause I look like I'm about to take flight poorly. I look like a penguin, not even like a nice robin flying over. I look like I'm going
to say the thing that you need to hear. And you're like, oh, and then it makes sense. And you're like box jumping. You're going to say, oh, it's not that hard.
Well, that's what makes me nervous on the push pull days. And don't think I didn't think about it. It's the fact that you have to transition from one mindset to another. Like when it's agility, I'm like, oh, okay. Like I got to be agile and I got to go for it. But when like push pull, it's like, oh my God, like are my arms to my side? Like, the thought. But if I didn't have those distractions and I was just focusing on what I looked like in any mirror, or I was focusing on what I look like, I don't even watch the Instagram because I don't want to know, you know, like
I love that there's no mirrors. And I actually think because of my dance background, I'm like aware of my body. So if someone gives me like a correction of like, do this, like it makes sense to me and I know what they mean. I think that's helped in that way, you know?
I have to tell you, we did that. We did an exercise yesterday together where we had to do the burpee and then jump over one another. Now I want you to imagine my stress because I'm a small bird, penguin-ish, that I was like, oh, I'm like, I don't know how to explain to somebody that this is not my skill set. Like I'm like, the minute someone says dead weight, the minute someone says jump, I think, oh, I'm dead weight. Like, I'm not going to make it over. And then, yeah, it's like, just like an immediate, and I will get better at it, but I can't really figure it out. I don't know.
I think you doubt yourself more than
you need. I know. Then I did. Well, having you there, having a human being that I had to jump over definitely made me better because I was like, you're not going to hurt her just because you feel like you're dead weight. What is your, how many years have you been there, you think?
So I started end of 2019 and then going into 2020. Yeah. So I became a full member and then pandemic hit. And so they were so amazing through the whole thing. I did like at home workouts and then I was furloughed from work for a hot second. So I stopped. Then I joined back in 2021. And so I've been, so then consistently through 2021, all 22, is that true? And 23. Yeah. So I've been there for a while now.
It's incredible. That's the other thing is I the consistency at which people go, I don't know, I haven't gone to enough gyms, like I haven't done a tour of them, but I'm just so impressed with the longevity. And I see older people there and I keep thinking, I'm so excited at the idea that I could possibly be fit enough to be one of them.
Yeah.
That, right?
I truly think it's the variety of like every day is different. Whether it's a different protocol, different structure to the class, different format. That's what keeps me coming back and not ever feeling like.
Does your sister still go? Or is she far away?
She's pregnant, so no.
Oh, yes.
But I know she would love to come back at some point. But yeah, you know, having children and all the things. And she had a traumatic, so her wife carried their first son. She carried their daughter and she gave birth at 27 weeks, I think, to my niece River. She was one.
Oh, my God.
Whole thing anyway, so now she's pregnant again, and so she'll be back at some point, but right now she's busy having babes
and trying in there. They're definitely very much a workout.
Yes, they sure are.
Well, my mind is blown. I'm so curious how it's gonna feel to have a fellow survivor, brain surgery survivor.
When I heard that the other day and I knew I was talking to her, I was like, oh my, I have so many questions. Number one, you don't hear that very often, right?
No, we'll deep dive into the specifics of coffee someday. Cause that is just, you know, the one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to scare people away from brain surgery. Cause I actually, strangely enough, have had.
Yes. What's to be afraid of?
Yeah. Nothing to be afraid of. I mean, the symptoms are far worse than the brain surgery, but, you know, in the end, you know, what happens after for me was blissful in comparison to what led up to it, you know?
Yeah, no, and it's amazing what, you know, they can do really, and science and all the things.
Yeah, my brain grew back like filled in that whole gap in 3 months. Like it was wild.
Yeah. I mean, my head was shaved and it's amazing. Like it all comes back and it all, I don't know.
I did. There is I'm sure a joke that every patient does with the brain surgeon where they're like, so do you have a degree in beauty as well? Like, are you a hairstylist in the evenings or am I going to look awful when you get this part? You know, I'm sure there are.
It was Dr. Wisoff when I was 16 and he said, like, I'm very aware, like you're 16, like, I had long hair, you know, hair is important. Like, I will do my best. I'm like, okay, thank you. You know?
Yeah. Mine was easy because it was like, right at the front. So it was basically going to look and then just pull down, you know, or so they said. Well, this was an absolute pleasure and a total shocker for me. And I like seeing you're very smiley and very happy to see in the morning. And so I am very happy that we get to work out together. And now that I know you, and know what you've been through, it makes it even more, you know, moving.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like one of the things I love the most about Burn, like you said, it's take it for what you want, right? Like you're running in just for you and you're working out, but I have met such wonderful people there and have made some new friends. So that's been really special. And I'm so glad. Thank you for inviting me to do this. And
It was great. And I feel like I talked more than I should have, but that's
it might have been a podcast about brain surgeries, but we had that connection.
I know. What can you do? Anyway, I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you again.
I'll see you at Burn.
At Burn.
All right. Have a good one. Okay. So Annalise likes to work out to I Am Here by Pink or Hold My Hand by Jess Glynn. She couldn't pick one. So you get to. Good plan. Okay, bye.